God cares about the way we clothe our bodies. He just does. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, actually. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. Let's reiterate what's already been read. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. Clearly, God cares about the way we dress. And why? Why does God care how we dress? It's because the way we dress has a profound impact on people. And God wants to make sure that the way we dress is such that the impact is a good one, not an evil one. So what I want to do in this morning's lesson is discuss dressing for spiritual success. And I want to do it under three main headings. First thing I want to talk about are the three keys to adorning yourselves with proper clothing. If you want to dress your body right, there's three keys that we're going to talk about. And we're going to talk about number two, the facts about proper clothing. The Bible has a lot to say about proper clothing. And the third thing we want to talk about is the excuses that a lot of times people make to wear inappropriate clothing. And with that, our lesson will be done. And I hope we'll take and glorify God in the things we learn, especially this time of year. It's getting warmer. And what tends to happen is as the temperature goes up, the clothes go off. And so we just need to make sure that we are dressing appropriately. And I would encourage you to please come Tuesday night. Talk about looking to lust. Ladies, if you're married, you want your husband there. And men, if you're married, you want your wife to be there. We need to understand what the Bible says about this important subject. So come Tuesday night and we'll kind of have the other half of this very important, vital, important lesson. And then the Tuesday after that, just a kind of a announcement of coming things, we're talking about divorce. That's the fourth antithesis that we'll talk about. So this Tuesday, it's about looking to lust, and then a week after the Tuesday after that, it's talking about divorce. Important subjects that we desperately need to consider what God has to say about. So come be with us if you can. All right, now, in this passage we just read, 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10, what you have is three principles for dressing for spiritual success. Three keys. The first is to dress modestly. To dress modestly. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you give just a technical definition, it means dressing or behaving so as to avoid impropriety or indecency, especially avoiding attracting sexual attention. The Greek word is a word that basically carries with the idea of not wanting to do anything shameful. An older version actually translates the word modesty here. It translates it shamefast. I like that word. You think about it. What is a person who is bedfast? A bedfast person is a person who can't get out of bed and do anything else. A shamefast person is a person who can't do anything that's shameful. There's two kinds of shame that we understand. There's the shame of getting caught doing wrong, and there's being too ashamed to do wrong to start with. Does that make sense? A lot of times we do wrong, but we're only ashamed when we get caught. But if we're this kind of person, modesty carries with the idea of being too ashamed to do anything that's wrong, much less be caught doing it. And so that's what we have to have if we're going to be the kind of dressers that God would have us to be. We need to be the kind of people that just abhor the thought of doing anything shameful. I knew a young lady one time, she wore short shorts out to an airport, and she accidentally stumbled across a preacher. And she was immediately ashamed of what she was wearing in that first sense of the word. She's ashamed she got caught. But if she had modesty, she would not have bought those kind of shorts to start with, much less wearing them out in public. So if we're going to dress ourselves properly, we've got to have a strong sense of shamefastness, of modesty. We're not going to do anything that would offend God. Now, unfortunately, it's true that that's not what rules a lot of the way people wear their clothing. It's not about shame. It's about what's fashionable. And that's unfortunate. I'm old enough to remember back in the late 60s, early 70s, when mini skirts were very popular. And I mean, they were mini skirts. And they would wear those things to church. And preachers, I remember when I was a little kid, preachers would get up and preach long and hard about how you shouldn't wear mini skirts, they're immodest and those kind of things. And hardly anybody changed. But if you're old enough to remember, what happened in fashion after that was they went from one extreme to the other. They went from the miniskirt being fashionable to long dresses being fashionable, the ones that would go all the way down to the ground. And all of a sudden, these people that were wearing miniskirts were now wearing these long dresses that were very, very modest. But they weren't motivated by God to do it. They were motivated by what Paris fashion said, and that means they did not have a sense of modesty. So if you want to be a good dresser for God, you got to have a sense of modesty. You got to be just abhor the idea of doing anything that's shameful. And really the question you ask with this key to dressing for spiritual success is, who do I want to please when I put on my clothes? Who am I dressing to please? Is it God or somebody else? It needs to be God. Now, second key in this particular verse is the idea of being discreet. And it carries with the idea of being careful or judicious or circumspect. Basically, it carries with it the idea of thinking about what you wear. If you're going to dress for spiritual success, you just can't go to your closet and throw on something without thinking about it. If you're going to dress for spiritual success, you got to think, and you got to think well about what the Bible says about modest apparel. You got to think. You got to think well. And that's what discreetness does. And so what the question that this particular characteristic asks us to ask is, what do we think about when we decide what to wear? The first question is, the first word, modesty, basically says, who are you really trying to please with the clothes you're about to pick out? Is God the one you're going to please above everybody else? The second thing is, what are you thinking about when you pick out your clothes? Are you thinking about what God wants you to think about? And the third principle to dressing for spiritual success is to put far more emphasis on inward than outward beauty. Now, in this passage that we just read in 1 Timothy 2:9, it says, likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly garments. This is what you call a not but statement. Jesus is not saying that you can't wear gold, you can't braid your hair. What he's saying is that you need to put more emphasis on the way you look on the outside than the way you do on the inside. It's just like the passage over in John chapter 6 where Jesus says, do not work for the food that perishes. Now, if that's what Jesus meant, then he contradicts himself, because later on it says, if a man won't work, let him not eat. So is Jesus saying not to work to feed our faces? No, he's saying you got to do that, but you need to work harder at feeding your soul. And that's what he's saying here about clothing. It's not a bad thing to look nice. I mean, the woman in Proverbs 31, she dressed nicely. And I think wives should dress nicely for their husbands, I mean, and vice versa. But I think for a Christian, they're more concerned about the clothing they put on their souls than they are on their bodies. And fortunately for a lot of us, we're very, very attentive to what we put on externally. We spend a lot of time working out and buying nice clothes and dressing up and doing our hair. And if we spent just half of that much time studying and praying, how much more spiritually advanced would we be? And that's, I think, the point that Jesus is making here. So the question that this particular characteristic asks us to ask is, are we more concerned about the way we dress our bodies or our souls? So if you understand these three principles that this passage lays out here, and you apply them properly, you will dress properly. You don't want to dress ever in a way that brings shame to God. You just don't ever want to do it. Second thing is, you want to think before you put on something. And we'll talk about some facts about proper clothing that you need to consider. And third, your focus when it comes to adorning yourself should be far more about adorning your soul than your body. Because really, you know, you can adorn your body and neglect your soul, and as a consequence, you are not properly attired. Now let's talk about some facts about dressing for spiritual success. And in the outline, I'm not going to cover a whole lot in the outline. That's basically for y'all to look at later to fill in some of the blanks that I won't be able to cover simply for time's sake. But if you're going to think about what the Bible says about clothing, here's some things you need to think about. Here's some principles about proper clothing. First of all, is that being naked around people that you're not married to, or your kids or something like that, of a certain age, it's a shameful thing. Before Adam and Eve knew the difference between good and evil, they were naked and they were not ashamed. Once they learned the difference between good and evil, when they were naked before God, they were ashamed. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8, Jesus advised the Laodiceans to buy white garments so that you may clothe yourself, that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. And that goes along with the idea of putting more emphasis on the way your soul looks than your body looks. But the reason why spiritual nakedness is shameful is because physical nakedness is shameful. It really goes along with possession, demon possession. You know, if you don't clothe yourself, if you go around naked in public when you shouldn't, you're more demonic than you are anything else. And if you doubt that, look at Luke 8:27. I think this is a powerful verse. Luke 8, verse 27. It says, When he came out into the land, this is Jesus, was met by a man from the city who was possessed with demons and who had not put on any clothing for a long time. So here's a guy going around in public without any clothes on, demon-possessed. People went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus, verse 35, and they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting down at his feet, clothed and in his right mind. So one put it this way, when driven by the devils, the demoniac was naked. When he was in his right mind, by the power and grace of Jesus Christ, he was covered. Nakedness is shameful. And we don't want to ever expose things in public that have no business being exposed if we're going to please God. A second Bible fact is that God gave us animals and plants to cover our nakedness. If you doubt that, look at Hosea chapter 2 and verse 9. One of the reasons why God gives us plants and animals is to cover ourselves appropriately. If you doubt that, it says in Hosea verse 2, 9, it says, therefore I will take back my grain at the harvest time and my new wine in its season. I also will take away my wool and my flax. So here he's talking about products of animals and plants given to do what? Notice this. Look at the end of this verse, Hosea 2, 9. Given to cover her nakedness. God says nakedness is shameful, and he's given us enough stuff to cover what doesn't need to be exposed. Here's a very important point. Nakedness in the Bible is inadequate clothing, not necessarily nudity. You can have something on your body and still be naked. And if you doubt that, go back to Genesis chapter 3. What happened after Adam and Eve knew they were naked before God? They clothed themselves with fig leaves, which is about covering what the modern swimsuit would cover. And then they still hid themselves from the Lord. Why? Because while they had something on, they were still naked. And that's why God later on clothed them with tunics. Because what they had put on was not enough. So it's a very important point, is that if we want to be adequately clothed, you can't say, I've got something on. You have to have enough on, and enough is more than just your underwear, so to speak. A fourth fact. Is when we choose clothing, we need to pick clothing that's going to be appropriate in all situations. Clothing that's appropriate in all situations. In Exodus 20 and verse 26, just to illustrate this point. And this is interesting to me. It says, you shall not go up by steps to my altar so that your nakedness will not be exposed on it. God is talking to his priests. And he says, you're not going to go up. Don't go so that you're above the people that you're serving, because they would tend to see things they don't need to be seeing. And sometimes we pick out clothes and we'll sit there and we'll say, okay, now if I stand like this all day long, I'll be modestly appareled. But if I move, I'm in deep trouble. You got to dress practically. You got to appreciate the fact that there might be people, at times you're climbing out of the subway. There might be times when you're at your office and people are going to stand above you. Make sure that you're clothed not just in one point in time, but in all points in time. It's very important that you be clothed appropriately in all times. Another principle is that you can be clothed but still inadequately dressed. If you doubt that, look over Genesis 38 and verse 14. Genesis 38 and verse 14. You can be covered from head to toe but still be shamefully dressed. Here it says, she removed her widow's garments and covered herself with a veil and wrapped herself. So here's a woman who's got a veil over her face and wrapped herself entirely in cloth. And you would say, now there's a modest woman. No, she's inappropriately dressed, because she sat at the gateway of Enim, which is on the road to Timnah, for she saw that Shelah had grown up and she had not been given a wife to him as a wife. And it says, when Judah saw her, he thought that she was a harlot, for she had covered her face. So just because you've got clothing on doesn't mean you're not shamefully dressed. I mean, you've got to be thinking about, is my clothing too tight? Is it transparent? There's a lot of things. What I'm trying to say is there's a whole lot of things to think about when we choose our clothing. One thing you got to think about, and we'll talk about this Tuesday night, is how what we see affects us tremendously. What happened with David? He saw Bathsheba naked, and what happened? He ended up killing her husband, committing murder. What you see affects you. Herod saw his unlawful wife's daughter dance, and that cost him half, he said, I'll give you up to half of my kingdom, and it cost John the Baptist his head. So if you're going to dress properly, you got to appreciate the fact that the way you dress or don't dress is going to affect other people. We'll talk about this again more Tuesday night. It's sinful to look to lust. We'll talk about that very completely Tuesday night. Please come. It's tempting to look to lust. I remember Anthony just a couple weeks ago was talking about when you're walking down the streets, you got to put blinders on when he's teaching Kevin's class. You got to keep your eyes straight ahead, not turn to the left or the right. You got to keep your eyes straight ahead so that you don't look at things that you don't need to be looking at. And the realization is that it's very, very tempting to do that. Very tempting to do that. It's so tempting that if you're not going to do it, you got to do what Job did, which he said, I made a covenant with my eyes so that I will not look at young women. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. If you're going to keep your mind pure, you got to keep your eyes where they don't need to be. I mean, you need to keep your eyes from going where they don't need to be. So it's tempting to look to lust. We're not supposed to tempt people to look to lust. We are not to dress in a provocative way. The scripture makes it very clear that if we are a stumbling block to other people, we will answer God for it. And ladies, you need to appreciate how powerfully what you do or don't do as far as your clothing goes affects men. I think there are some women that are naive about that, and they need to not be. I think there are some women know perfectly well what they're doing with the way they dress, and they need to repent. So we must not tempt people to look to lust. Number 10, we can know what to cover. God does not leave us at a loss to understand any good work. If God wants us to dress properly, he tells us what to cover to do it. And you can look at the Bible. The Bible is very clear. It'll tell you what needs covering and what doesn't. Common sense tells you the same thing. If you want to know what's provocative, you know, look at fashion magazines. They'll use words about particular garments. They'll use the word provocative. You know, here's a really good one. If you want to know what's provocative, go to a jail and look at their dress code for visitors. I'll give you an example of that in the outline. It's not rocket scientist. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what is provocative clothing, what's going to tempt people to look to lust. And so make sure that you understand that you can know what you need to cover and that you need to do it. 11th principle, err on the side of safety. When it comes to clothing, brethren, there's one of three garments. There's one of three kinds of garments. Garments that are clearly modest, garments that are clearly immodest, and garments that are somewhere in between. Now, if I were driving on a mountain road that was not very wide, there was no guardrail, and if you fell off, you had a 1,000-foot drop, how would you drive? Would you drive as close to the side of the road as you possibly could? No, if you're like normal people, you're going to get as close to the, you're going to hug the mountain as much as you can so that you don't even fear falling over. You need to have that same kind of attitude when it comes to the way you dress. If you're sitting there and you're understanding what the Bible says about modest apparel, you're understanding that I don't want to do anything that's shameful and I got to think if I'm going to dress right, one thing you're going to think about is whether this garment is appropriate or not. And if you're in doubt, wear something else. I think that's just a very safe and sensible principle that the Bible teaches. And finally, here's some miscellaneous matters. Just some common sense things about the way we dress. Guys, what I'm talking about applies to you as much as it does to women. I'm not a sexist up here. When I was trying out at a church one time, one guy I knew was a bodybuilder, and he posted some pictures of himself online with wearing almost nothing. And are women affected by men's inadequately clothed body? Yes, they are. I'll never forget this. One time I was teaching a high school class in Houston, and we got talking about clothing, and I just asked the young ladies, it was a mixed group, but I just asked the ladies, are you affected by what men wear and what they don't wear? And there was only one young lady that was brave enough to speak up, and she said, absolutely I am. She said, you know, if I'm driving down the road and I see a really buff guy, you know, what she would call a wife beater, and I used that expression one time and somebody had no idea what that meant. It's just an undershirt that has straps as opposed to a t-shirt type undershirt. So she says, admitted very candidly, she said, you know, if I see a guy out working out in the yard or whatever and he's well built and he's dressed like that, she says, I look twice. So guys, I understand women are not as visual oriented as men are, but they are to some degree, and we have a responsibility to not be temptations just as much as women do. It goes both ways. People in this world need good examples. Set the one. Don't needlessly harm your influence for good. You know, if you're doubtful as to whether something's appropriate or not, don't do it. Parents, instill these principles we're talking about today in your children at the earliest possible age. Start teaching your daughters and your sons about modest clothing before they can even talk, because they can understand far more than you understand. Children, when it comes to this, trust your parents. Listen to your parents. Girls, young ladies, listen to me. Your dads know more about this than you do. Trust him. Moms, be more concerned about modesty than fashion. Back your husband up if he thinks your daughter needs to go upstairs and try again. Finally, I would suggest to you, don't drink, because if you do, you'll undress sometimes. It's interesting in Scripture, in Genesis chapter 9, 19, and Lamentations 4, and Habakkuk 2, 15, all these verses are in the outline. It makes it real clear that a lot of times what men will do is they'll get women to drink so that they can be looser than they would otherwise be. So one reason to stay away from alcohol is that it lessens your inhibitions. You make decisions that you wouldn't otherwise make. And there are men out there that are predatory. They're going to try to get you to drink so that you'll take off clothes you don't need to take off. So you see what we're saying here? There's some Bible facts about the way you dress that when you dress, you need to consider before you decide what to wear that day. It's very clear. I think it's very straightforward. It's not difficult. And I'm trying to keep this as simple as I possibly can. Like I said, there's a whole lot of information in the outline that we're not covering. Study that to reinforce what we're learning here. So we've talked about the three keys to dressing for spiritual success. You don't want to, if you're going to dress successfully as a Christian, you don't want to do anything shameful, which means anything that God abhors. It's not just being ashamed of getting caught. It's of doing anything that is wrong. You got to have that or you won't dress right. Second is you got to think about what the Bible says about it. And we just talked about in the second application how there's a lot of things you need to think about. And the third principle is you got to be more concerned about dressing your souls than your body. And if you'll do that, you will dress for spiritual success. But when you have a lesson like this, inevitably you're going to get people making excuses. And I want to talk about some of the common excuses that people give for immodest apparel and suggest to you there is no excuse. Some people will say, well, people are going to lust after you no matter what you wear. That's true. You can dress yourself in a burlap sack and have it tied at the top and people will lust after you. But some people only lust after you if you dress immodestly, and you have a responsibility to people that are trying not to lust. You have a responsibility to not needlessly be provocative. So you're right, some people are going to lust at you no matter what you do, but that doesn't mean you're off the hook and that you can needlessly tempt people to by dressing immodestly. We are our brothers and sisters keeper in this regard. A second thing that a lot of times people will say is that modesty is determined by social standards. And hear me well. There's a lot of truth to that. It used to be in our culture that if a woman exposed her ankles, that was provocative. Are ankles inherently provocative? I don't think so. But there was a time in our culture when they were. Now, are there certain things that are always provocative, no matter what culture you're a part of? I think so, too. It's just the nature of the way men and women are made. And so here's what I'm saying is, there is some, culture does dictate what we should and should not wear to a point. And we need to respect that if culture standards are stricter than God's. You know, if God doesn't require you to cover your ankle, but your culture does, cover your ankles. Okay? But if society not only cares about covering your ankles, but it doesn't matter if you uncover a lot of things God says you got to cover, you got to respect what God says. See what I'm trying to say? Yes, there's a cultural element here, but the reality is from the very beginning, you go back to the Garden of Eden, men have always been men and women have always been women, and they always will be until the end of time. And so while culture can have an impact, the inherent nature of men and women has an impact too, and we need to respect both things. Some will say it's just a matter of judgment. Well, as I've already said, it's not all a matter of judgment. But even in regards to things that are a matter of judgments, you're not going to answer to me, and I try to be real careful about this. When it comes to wearing shorts, do they need to be modest? Yes. How long do shorts need to be before they're modest? Well, I think I can successfully tell you when they're too short. But as far as me being the guy that you're going to have to answer to as far as you tell how long they are, you may wear them shorter than I do, and maybe I wear them shorter than you do. And there is a judgment involved. And you're right, you're not going to answer to me, and I'm not going to answer to you, but you know what? We're going to all answer to God. And that's what this lesson is about. It's making sure that on the day of judgment, we can be able to defend the way we chose how long our shorts or skirts or whatever would be. It is not just a matter of judgment, but in regards to judgment matters, you still got to use good judgment. You might say, well, you're not my judge. And in matters of faith, we got to make judgments. And in matters of judgment, here's a very important point. And I've already really made the point. I'm not going to sit here and tell you how many inches below or above your knee your dress or your shorts have got to be. That's not my place. But you know what? If certain garments are modest, everything is modest. If certain garments are not shameful, nothing is shameful. And we have to understand that we can be flexible, we can stretch in judgment matters, but you can't stretch beyond the point of breaking. We have to be careful if we allow people to dress in certain ways, that what they do is they render the word of God of none effect. You know, if certain things are modest, then there might as well not even be 1 Timothy 2:9-10 in Scripture. And if you get to that point, you got to hold people responsible for what they wear or don't wear, and you do it out of love, and that's all. You do it out of love. Some people will say, well, nobody's going to lust after me. Don't be naive. People, when you don't wear enough clothes, they look. Why is the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition the most popular edition of that magazine? It's because men look at women who don't have enough clothes on. Sometimes people will say, well, nobody would look at me. They might look at these beautiful models, but they wouldn't look at me. Everybody is tempting to somebody. So no matter who you are, don't think that you can't provoke people to lust. And here's the real problem in our culture. The problem in our culture is not that people don't lust. The problem is they don't think anything about lusting. Now, one of my predecessors at this congregation was Sewell Hall, and he wrote an article, and he said this. He said, the fact is that our generation has been so bombarded with sexual stimuli that we have about reached the condition described by Jeremiah. We are not at all ashamed, neither can we blush. It is not that we think nothing lustful, it is that we think nothing of the sinfulness of thinking lustfully. I think, can Christians enjoy going to the lake and swimming and skiing and those kind of things together in a modest way? I think absolutely they can. Now, you're going to have to dress in a way. You have to dress several layers of clothing so that when you get wet, it's modest. You're not going to sell your outfit to any fashion house. And most people in the world are going to look at you and think there's a bunch of dweebs out there. But you know what? You can have a lot of fun, and so there's no excuse for being immodestly apparelled. Some other excuses. I've got to wear it to participate in what I'm wearing, to doing. Well, that may be true. I mean, if you have to dress inappropriately to do something, that may be the truth. I mean, if you're going to do it, you may have to dress inappropriately. Does that mean you can do it? No, it just means that's something you can't do. But God always promises you something better to do than anything that's wrong. And what I found, and it's really inspiring, is sometimes, for example, in sports, some Christian women are bothered by the uniforms that they have to wear. And so they'll actually make an appeal. Can I wear something more modest? And reluctantly, a lot of times, they will agree to that. And you know what? That sets a wonderful example. And it inspires other people who are bothered by what they have to wear, but they don't have the guts enough to stand up for what's right. So you may have to do something in wrong to participate in a certain activity. If that's the case, you can't participate in that activity. I mean, if you're going to be a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader, you're going to have to dress in ways that God says not to dress. Does that mean you can be a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader? No. It means you need to go find out something else to do. And there's some things that you may be, you know, they may say this is what you need to wear, but if you push it, they won't force it on you, and you can set a marvelous and wonderful example. Just a few more things and we'll be done. Some people say, oh, I have to wear these things to attract the opposite sex. No, you don't. There's two kinds of women, that's the old expression. There's the kind you want to date and there's the kind you want to marry. You want to dress in such a way that people are more concerned about marrying you than dating you. And I promise you, purity, young ladies, purity is one of the most attractive things you can possibly have. If you think you're going to lack for attention, you're dead wrong. I'll never forget in high school, there was this young lady, a very modest young lady, and this big hunk of a football guy. I mean, he was a worldly, ungodly guy. for some reason, he decided that was the kind of girl he wanted to marry. And I'm mixing metaphors here, but he's a football player that did full court press on this girl for years. She finally yielded after he had straightened up his life, and she married him. And so here was a guy who could have had any woman he wanted, but he wanted the pure one. So you don't have to wear it to attract the opposite sex. Really, the only question is, what kind of attention do you want to attract? Some people say it's too hot to be modest. Wrong. Go back to the West. Women wore all kinds of clothing back in the West, and they survived. Here's something I would say is this. If ladies in Muslim countries can wear all the clothes that Muslim women wear in the desert when it's 120, 130 degrees, if those women can do that to honor Allah, we can dress modestly to honor the true and living God. Some people say, well, everybody dresses this way. Not everybody that wants to go to heaven does. You shall not follow the masses in doing evil. Some will say, well, stores don't sell any other kind of clothes. Now, I can appreciate it can be difficult to find modest apparel, but if you look hard enough, you can usually find it. And if you can't find it, you know what you need to learn to do? Make your own clothes. Back in Arkansas, they had a prom alternative. Instead of kids going to the prom, they had something that members of the church put together so they could behave in a righteous manner. And they wanted to dress up, and so they would like to dress up in some of the same kind of dresses that were worn to proms. The problem is that most of those were not modest. My wife over here became she was the alterer. I mean, if you needed a garment to go from being immodest to modest, you took the dress to the alterer. And she could alter that so that it was a very godly and modest piece of clothing. I would suggest to you another one. Some people say, and there's just two more left. Some people say, I only dress this way around close friends. Again, Sewell Hall said this. He said, the fact that close friends go swimming together is no insurance against lustful looking if they're dressed immodestly, and against consequences even more serious. If anything, such practices are more dangerous among friends than among strangers. More than one wrecked marriage has been traceable to lackness of dress and sexual intimacy between couples. A lot of times women will say, well, my husband's friend won't look at me that way. You're tempting him to do so if you dress that way, and a lot of times they will. So just because you're around close friends does not mean you're not tempting people to lust. And then some people will do the opposite. They'll say, well, I only dress that way around strangers. They'll say, basically, I only wear things I should not wear when I'm three states over and absolutely nobody knows me. First of all, haven't you ever been in situations where you're three states over and you think nobody knows you, and boom, there's somebody you know? Inevitably happens. But second, where in the Bible does it say you can tempt people to lust you don't know, but you can't do it to people you know, but you can do it to people you don't know? It's not in there. It's not in there. So in conclusion, let me simply say this. God cares about the way we dress. And so what? Well, we need to care about the way we dress. We need to make sure that we have the three keys to dressing properly. Make sure that you're abhorrent to anything that's shameful. You don't want to do anything that displeases to God. Make sure when you dress that the one you're trying to please is your Creator. When you dress, make sure you think about what you wear, and you need to think about what your Creator says you need to think about. And to be put far more effort and energy in clothing your soul than your body. If you'll do those things and not make any excuses, you will dress for spiritual success. You will be a blessed person, and you will be a blessing.